Okay.
Done the tortured. I'm on my doorstep, and you're fucking me. And I said, "Daddy, stop looking." It's the Girl Gone Experience.
I'm actually on edge right now because before this, I actually was reading the book that I'm reading right now for the last like 45 minutes while we waited to record this, and it's so scary.
It's scary?
Yeah, I'm reading The Shards by Bret Easton Ellis, and it's his latest, and I can't remember the last time I've actually been like, it's like the middle of the day, and I actually got up to go make sure the doors were locked in the house.
I mean, you do that constantly, regularly.
Well, yeah, I guess it doesn't take very much to make me go check that the doors are locked in my house.
You and your partner are obsessed with the idea that you're going to have a break-in.
Well, it's not
some
like,
sort of home invasion.
I don't think it's insane. I'm not like a crazy. I'm not a crazy person. I'm not like a Ring doorbell type. I think it's normal to keep your doors locked when you're home. I think it's normal to keep the doors in your house mostly locked.
When you're having a party?
No, not when you're having a party. Why? How did?
Because you keep it locked when you have a party.
If I'm having like four friends over, like I
was
the other night.
Yeah, but even at your Christmas thing, it was locked.
Okay.
You unlocked it and you opened and you unlocked. Like,
even that kind of party is like, you're right. In that scenario, I think it would have been reasonable. And I think after a while we did unlock it. But I think it's reasonable to, if it's not like a massive house party and it's like you're having some friends over, I think it's reasonable to keep your door locked. But I'm talking during the daytime. I'm not talking about party.
Yeah.
You'll just keep your door unlocked when you're at home chilling.
Sometimes, I mean, I don't know who's gonna walk in. You know, maybe someone cool will walk in.
One time I was in your house and you were in your office, like in the back of the apartment, and I was in the living room working on something, and you had a friend staying with you, and I didn't know that, and someone just came in, and I actually was so scared. Like, it was a man. It was
It was my friend,
yeah,
Devin's
it was,
brother.
Yeah, it was Devin's brother. And he was staying
He's
with
a real big guy.
Yeah, yeah, he's like a
big old
like
guy,
a man,
big old white guy.
A man
yeah.
in his 30s, like, just comes in, sees me, and like goes wide eyed when he sees me, and I like freeze.
He licked his lips.
I was like, Hello? Wrong house, I think. And
Jock is calling me again. Oh, it was a missed call.
Oh my god. We'll talk to him after this. We were trying to record with Jock today, but we couldn't for reasons that will be explained probably in this week's premium episode, which we are going to record with Jock later in the week. If you're not on the Patreon feed and you want to get on there so you can listen to this week's premium episode that is probably going to be with Jock.
Yeah,
assuming that this doesn't
Jock.
Happen again,
which it kind of up in the air, yeah, but hopefully roll.
It
works.
Listen,
out.
I love me some Jacques, but the reason we're not recording is because 5 minutes after we were supposed to record, they realized they don't
much
have
more than much more than 5 minutes, 25 minutes after we were supposed to record, I get a call from Jacques. And they're looking, they're like, oh, I can't find the headphones that I brought with me on a plane to do this.
Like, oh my
we're
God.
Like, really, like, being like, I did what I needed to do. And then they're like, I'm going to call. And they're like, but the reason they were late, they had just started looking for the headphones. They said they were late because they had to clean the whole apartment. And that's what they were doing.
Whose apartment?
So,
I wish we were recording with Jacques. I actually spent all day amping myself up to record with Jacques. Not that it requires amping up, but what I mean is I feel very much in the headspace to record an episode of the show with Jacques. So now I'm kind of, I have the Jacques equivalent of blue balls. I have Jacques balls.
I have Cajun spicy balls.
Yes.
That I wish could, you know, be squirting out. Some Creole garlic butter. Well, Cajun and Creole are different, but some garlic butter right now. Imagine if when you came a sauce. What sauce would you like to come, April?
Maybe like, I don't know. That's actually a really tough question. Maybe like simple syrup.
What? What?
I'm just thinking that would be like.
So you want your partner down there going at it.
No, I guess.
And you want to actually squirt a bunch of sugar, just plain sugar syrup that doesn't taste. You want a fucking Karo syrup, just squirt a big thing.
Okay, hang on.
That's disgusting.
Here's my rationale, okay? I was specifically thinking about oral. And I think in the context of sex, I'm not like a food and sex person. That doesn't really work for me. So in the context of sex, I don't want any, and I wouldn't want my partner to have to engage with any strong flavor. You know, it's like when you wake up first thing in the morning and have to eat something like with ketchup or whatever. That's a bad example. Like you know, like you have to eat a dinner sauce first thing in the morning and it tastes gross.
What do you mean when like you have to eat a dinner sauce first thing in the morning?
I don't know, you know.
When does that happen to you, April?
Sometimes that happens. Do you know what I mean? I just mean
because
out of
you made the choice to. You didn't have to.
Yeah. Have you ever like gotten up like to go to the airport at like 5 a.m. and force yourself to eat something, and so you heat up leftovers from last night, and you're like, oh my god, like this is so fucking gross right now at 6 a.m. Like I could not. I can't even think about eating this. This is disgusting. Why am I eat like this? Is
no. I go and I grab some fucking. Like horrible off-brand breakfast sandwich or something.
Okay,
when I get there.
Sure. Yeah, no, that.
But
that's
I get
a
what you're saying.
Choice. I'm just saying.
What you're saying
basically
is
I'm saying is out. I wouldn't.
It's reasonable.
I think that the best condiments, even out of context, the best condiments out of context are going to be gross. Mm-hmm. Not even the best condiment will taste good if you come
it I be,
during
can I be
sex.
Straight with you
so,
for a second?
Wait, hang on. That's why I said simple, because I think that plain like sugar water is probably the most mild condiment, and I'm really stretching the word condiment
but it's
here.
Not sugar water. It's sticky and it's thick.
Simple is basically sugar water,
but it's thickened
a little bit. I mean
oh a lot.
It's boiled. Not a lot. What are you talking about?
Yes it is
a lot. No,
it's thick.
It's essentially
it's a syrup. It's a syrup.
No, simple syrup is not like thick. It's not like maple syrup thick. It's like
it's not maple syrup thick, but it's thick.
Okay, I don't know why we're arguing about how thick simple syrup is.
Because we're hosting a podcast,
okay,
April.
Anyways, I wasn't thinking about coming inside of someone, and in that context, simple syrup
or all over someone.
Yeah, no, all over, simple's fine, whatever, you get sticky. Regular cum gets sticky, who gives a fuck? That's fine.
But way stickier.
Coming sugar inside
my
of someone
doesn't get
seems
that sticky.
Bad. So maybe it shouldn't be, so simple would be maybe good for oral, bad for...
I didn't
for,
even think about the coming inside aspect
right,
of
like
it.
Like, what would be the best condiment to come inside of someone? What would be the
probably,
best condiment to get inside your vagina?
Probably apple cider vinegar.
No.
Does that count?
No. You need like a neutral. Like, it needs to be like a watery, like totally neutral.
The,
it can't be like acidic,
okay, what
right?
about the barbecue from McDonald's?
That's also going to be really fucking sticky. Barbecue sauce is so much sugar also.
Okay.
Most condiments are either sugar or mayonnaise.
What about lemon
like
juice?
At the core. Okay.
No.
Lemon juice
most
is also
going to
be sticky and it's going to
sugar,
burn.
Mayonnaise, or hot sauce.
Yeah, okay. Or like spice or like peppers.
Cuz hot sauce is just crushed peppers.
Right. Okay. So yeah, the categories of condiments are either
well, can we expand
sugar,
it?
Well, mayonnaise is what? Egg and cream. So it's either sugar, egg and cream based or pepper based.
What about hummus? Does that count?
Yeah. Yeah.
I would squirt hummus,
oh, hummus
and then I would lick it out.
Is actually a pretty good one. Hummus.
I would lick it all
hummus
out.
Hummus is probably not too.
Yeah, and
it's
you
not
can
that
put
acidic,
anything
right?
on hummus, and it tastes good. So if you got, if like, I don't know, they were having their period or something, like, you would just be having like ovular hummus and it would taste pretty good. I would have like a pita in there scooping it out.
Jeez, Jesus Christ. Oh my God. Oh my God. Did you ever watch Saltburn in the end?
No.
Okay. Well, at this point, don't. Who can, the circle of discourse is over.
I'm going to watch it in Saltburn. 2028 and I'm going to be like, why'd you guys hate that?
Well, there's this there's a scene in Saltburn where Barry Keoghan like eats a girl out on her period. And
yeah.
She's like, oh, please don't. I'm on my period. And he's like, it's okay. I'm a vampire, baby. And just the way it's delivered, I think one of the grossest lines I've ever heard in my life.
But then she doesn't have an eating disorder after, right? Yes. That's what I heard.
Yes, because she has an eating disorder previously. And then after that, she like accepts herself.
Because she got eaten out on her period?
Yeah. Which is actually interesting, connecting kind of feminine body issues to the eating. I think there's something there, but the movie does not deliver. Mm-hmm. And I have no problem with...
Emerald fennel maybe has to be put in the emerald kennel.
I'm not saying that period sex is gross or eating someone on their period is gross. The movie made it so gross. Anyhow, yeah, hummus I think
I mean
be
it
good.
Depends on someone's period.
That's true.
I've eaten people out on their period. I've eaten people out while they've had yeast infections. And
oh my God. Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Sometimes someone is also on tea and really horny and just wants you to go down there.
Yeah, but you don't have to.
No, but it's like, what's a little bit of sourdough starter in my diet? It's probably good for my biome.
Oh.
Probably good for my gut biome.
Oh my God.
It's really just like, we are the go-gurt generation. You know? We were raised on slimes out of tubes. This is just a different... It's a bread-flavored Go-Gurt.
Oh.
I mean, it's really not...
You're making it worse. I was just kind of thinking it tasted bad. Not that there was also, like, yogurt-y substance.
Oh, for sure. I would say it's more yogurt-y than anything. And I think the other thing that you have to keep in mind is there's so much of it. Like, it just keeps coming.
Hmm. That's... Okay.
I've had a yeast infection before.
Yeah.
On my penis.
That's so cool.
And it really hurt. It hurt so much.
That's crazy.
It was so... It was such divine pain.
Wow. Yeah, I don't really... I've never had a yeast infection, actually.
That's good.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just... I think it's just lucky.
I think Camille would be a trooper, though.
I'm not going to encourage a discussion about how my girlfriend would react to me having a yeast infection and us eating each other out. I'm okay. Let's move on. You know what I was thinking about earlier today?
What?
I don't know why I asked. You were never going to guess what I was thinking about.
Wait, can I guess? Can I try?
Sure, yeah.
I think you were thinking about the 2008 recession and what it did to the media landscape.
No, wasn't thinking about that. Do you want another guess?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think you're thinking about Popzoo, the counting clown.
I don't know what that is.
That's a character I just made up.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I wasn't thinking about that. I'll give you one more guess.
Miracle on Ice?
No, wasn't that. Okay. What I was thinking about is why don't other professions also have undercover cars, like undercover cop cars? Like, imagine you're imagine you're driving on the freeway, you're speeding, you know, and you realize you're speeding and you're like, ah, shit, I'm speeding. All of a sudden, car behind you, lights flick on. You hear a loud noise. You think, fuck, I'm getting pulled over. Then you realize it's actually an undercover ice cream truck. The noise you're hearing, ice cream truck music. The lights, ice cream truck lights. It's an undercover ice cream truck.
I think it's a really great idea to have undercover cars that are not cop cars. I think undercover ice cream truck would maybe not sit well with some parents. One of the reasons.
No, because imagine you're a parent and you're trying to teach your kid don't talk to strangers, don't go up to random people's cars. Your kid runs up to a car. You're like, oh, honey, no, don't do that. All of a sudden, the car's lights flick on. It's an undercover ice cream truck. There's actually nothing to be scared of. It was an undercover ice cream truck all along.
That's not the lesson they want to teach. Like, I think that. You know, maybe an unspoken reason why ice cream trucks are so flamboyant and loud and like always playing their music as they drive,
sure,
is to tell parents, hey, we are an ice cream truck. We're not hiding. It's okay if your kids come up to us. We're in plain sight. It's all good. And what you're proposing kind of is like, a fun secret between the kids and the person who owns the ice cream truck. And I don't think.
Well, no, because it's not a secret. Like cop cars, you know, do reveal themselves as cop cars. And the ice cream truck reveals itself to be an ice cream truck.
You're saying in this scenario, the parents are always around. What if it reveals itself to the kids as an ice cream truck? And there aren't any parents around, April.
Okay, I don't understand. You're really reaching here.
I just think that it's... Like, okay, here's another idea that I think could be fun.
What about this? You're driving on the freeway. You're feeling a little sleepy. You're a long-haul trucker. You get out your bag of meth. You do a little bump of meth. Long-haul trucker lifestyle, you know. There's a car right beside you. You didn't even notice it. Lights flick on. You're like, oh shit, I'm getting pulled over. I'm getting arrested. Just kidding. Okay. Undercover party bus. They saw you. They turned the lights on. Let's fucking party. Let's go.
So you just leave your car on the side of the highway?
And get on the undercover party bus.
You get on the undercover party bus?
Yep.
So, but who's in the bus? Is it your friends or just random people?
Other folks.
Other people who are tired, that like the bus saw. So it's a bunch of tired people on a party bus.
No, there's like meth and stuff.
Oh, there's meth. Okay.
Yeah, that's the trucker was doing meth. Don't think about it so hard. This is a business idea.
Okay, great. Can I pitch one?
Sure.
All right, you get into a fender bender.
Mm-hmm.
You pull off to the shoulder.
Yeah.
So this doesn't involve, like, I'm saying basically both of your pitches involved someone thinking that a cop was after them, and this one doesn't involve that.
Yeah, that's just kind of so to this grab is kind of attention. Like a fun. It doesn't have to be.
This
like
is kind
that.
Of like a fun twist. Okay, yeah, sure, I know. Sure, it's interesting that you say it. You know, it doesn't have to be like that because I'm the first person who's proposed one that isn't.
Okay,
like
well,
that.
Continue then.
You get out of the car. The person you rear-ended is like, oh, fuck. Oh, God, are you okay? You're like, yeah. He's like, I got to check to see if my trunk still works. He's holding it. It's like, oh, is it going to open? Is it going to open? It does. A bunch of fresh-baked sourdough loaves. It's an undercover baker.
That's so fucking good, Grace. That is exactly what I'm talking about. See, you get it. You get the idea. That's genius.
So what? How would that? Would they then charge the person money?
Yeah, it's
for the loaves.
It's your lucky day. Not every undercover car has to be a bad thing.
Okay, but this. So you propose this as a business idea? how do you make money?
No, I'm just saying it's a business model, you know. Cops okay. Cops have implemented okay. this. Cops have undercover cars all over the place, right?
So
but how come it's like advertising? How come other businesses don't have undercover cars?
Well, because I think it wouldn't make them any money.
Cops don't make any money from undercover cops.
I think they kind of literally do, right? Because if they arrest more people, then they'll get more money from the government.
If the undercover ice cream truck pulls you over, they make a sale. They make more money that
way. So they do. They do sell. You're saying that, like, they do sell the ice cream. Because before, well, yeah, you were
they're not
going to
give it out for free.
This is just like a fun.
No, they were always going to sell it. It was never going to be free.
So, okay. So you get pulled over by. Also, okay, it's a semi truck. But you get. Wait, why would you think the semi truck was a cop? If it's big enough.
What semi truck? What's the semi truck?
The party bus.
No. The trucker is in the semi truck. There's a regular car, like a van of sorts, driving next to.
Oh, so it's a really small. It's a really small party bus that doesn't really look like a.
No, most party buses are not that big.
They're bus sized. You're saying that it's a relatively so it's not a bus.
Well, there are party buses that are like little buses.
No, there aren't.
Yes, there are. Like the size of like the mini school buses. You know what I'm talking about?
I don't think they make party buses that
have
small.
Yeah, they do. Have you ever been on a party bus?
Honestly, no.
Really? I've been on one. Is that true? Yeah, I've been on one party bus. And it was as part of a wedding. They had a party bus bring everyone from the wedding to the second location.
Was it big?
It was like the size of like a Greyhound.
So it was a big bus.
Yeah, that one was. But sometimes you see them and they're small. How come undercover cop cars are never limos?
Because there's no utility to that.
They would be hidden way better. You would never see it coming.
That's true.
I can pretty much always tell when an undercover cop car is a cop car.
Yeah, because they look... They're like Crown Royals.
Yeah,
or
they
whatever.
Like look like fucking cops still, and they have the antennas, like too many antennas, and you can if you look like if you're an aware driver, you can spot a cop, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I just think that's a free idea for the police limos.
I'm glad that you're giving the police free ideas.
It wouldn't raise any questions that the windows were tinted. When I see a regular car with tinted windows, I'm like, might be a cop. Probably a cop. Windows too dark.
I have a free idea for the police. Mm-hmm. You know what would look really badass? Mm-hmm. And like make people like really like criminals really scared of you and not want to fuck with you? Mm-hmm. A scar right across your neck.
Ooh.
Like just a scar right, like a badass scar right across your neck.
Ooh.
So if you just take a knife and slash your neck, not obviously too hard, you're going to have to be careful. You're going to have to be not too hard.
Right.
And you're going to have to be, you want to be quick about it.
Right.
And you actually want the knife to be really smart.
And you're not telling them to hurt themselves, to be clear.
No,
legally speaking,
no.
You are not telling anyone to
telling
hurt themselves.
I'm telling them to. It's like basically a DIY tattoo.
Yeah, scarification is like a real thing.
Scarification is a real thing, and it's actually holy in a lot of the cultures that you arrest. So they might view you as, you know, some sort of like powerful, cool guy who's also sick because he's got this fucking sick scar across his neck. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just take a knife, the sharpest knife that you have, and I really like urge every cop to slash across their neck, not too deep, not too hard. You don't want to, you know, you just want to get a cool, you want to go deep enough so that the scar forms.
Right And you're not telling anyone to hurt themselves. Nope.
No.
You're just
no,
saying
I'm telling
do scarification
you to
look
do a
cool.
Body on, and do it, you know, you're going to have, you're going to need a bandage. You're going to need some fucking alcohol shit to, you know, cops love whiskey, you know, douse. A good way actually to clean that scar is, would be to put a cloth in some vodka, in a vodka bottle.
Yeah.
And then you're going to want to light that cloth on fire.
You want to get rid of the alcohol that way.
Yes, to get the alcohol and to, you know, you're singeing it so that it, like, kind of cleans it, you know, debacterializes it really effectively. And then just hold that as that's happening. Hold the bottle. You'll know when it's done. It's very clearly done.
Mm-hmm.
But just wait until it kind of goes in like that. But I think that's my huge tip to cops, you know. Get that badass scar on your neck. Nobody will fuck with you then.
It's a really good tip.
Another thing is, no one fucks with someone who shows their fucking Joker crazy. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and how do you show your Joker crazy in real life? You're probably, you know, don't bleach your skin. Don't dye your lips red. Your wife doesn't want you to have green hair. But what you can do is, whenever you're dealing with any sort of criminal, put a bullet into your six shooter, which I'm assuming that you have,
mm-hmm.
spin it, and then put it into your mouth and fire.
And you're not telling anyone to hurt themselves or kill themselves,
no,
or anything like that.
No.
You are not saying
and
that.
You're a cop. You're good with guns. You'll know if it's the one.
Right.
You'll know if it's actually the one loaded up or not.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that's easy peasy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lemon squeezy. But those are just two tips for cops to be super badass and not be messed with.
What if the Joker collected cars and he was like, "You want to know how I got these cars?"
That would be pretty funny.
And he like wasn't a bad guy or anything. He just was like,
yeah,
a
he just had
vintage
a lot of
car
cars.
Collector and he really wanted to tell you about his special interest, which is his vintage cars. And he was like, "You want to know how I got these cars?"
And he's
maybe,
just a regular guy.
Maybe
he's
could
like
be
maybe
called,
a businessman.
He could be called the driver instead of the Joker.
And you could call it drivers in cars getting coffee, mm-hmm. if he had a show about it.
Mm-hmm.
About like just talking to other people who like cars and drive them. Right. That's my issue with comedians in cars getting coffee. Why would a comedian be in a car?
Right. Right.
That's not their thing.
No, it should be comedians on stage telling jokes.
Yes.
That would make a lot more sense to me as a show.
On stage telling jokes, or comedians in the green room riffing off.
Or comedians in bars doing bits. What about,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Or comedians in bathrooms snorting coke.
Yeah, that's another classic one that they do.
Those are all things comedians do. They're not usually big car heads.
Absolutely. Or,
you know, like,
or
how did they get Jerry Seinfeld to host that show?
Comedians.
That just doesn't make sense.
Comedians at colleges picking up girls.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
that would be a show that makes sense to me.
Or.
And I would love to go on like that show, either as a comic or as one of the girls. Either way. I just want to be on TV.
It would have also made sense to make it like industrialists in cars getting coffee, because guess what? Then have it hosted by Henry Ford.
Right. What's Henry
you
Ford
know?
Up to these days? You know?
Nothing.
Nothing.
He got kicked out of the company because of woke.
Right. Because of woke. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so when it comes to the new, when it comes, April and I are both really big into the music scene.
Oh, yeah.
We're both
the
huge.
The main reason we set out to do this, the main thing we set out to do on this episode, actually. Well, no, I'll let you go. Where were you going with this?
Well, basically, we're huge into the music scene.
I love songs.
And we love songs.
Notes. I love so many of the notes.
We love notes.
Chords.
And
love them.
What I personally love are the measures. Because there's a beginning and an ending.
Right.
And so many things in life do not give you closure like a Measure of Music does.
Right.
You're like, oh, four beats, it's done.
Right.
Wouldn't it be great if relationships had 16 beats in a measure? Quarter note is one beat?
Mm-hmm.
Or something like along those lines?
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be really wonderful.
It'd be nice. We all wish we could sign a contract that specifies how long we're going to be in a relationship so we can know yes. when it begins and when it ends.
When it begins, when it ends. Mm-hmm. When to start dividing up the DVDs, you know?
Mm-hmm.
How many DVDs do you own?
Me?
Yeah.
Zero. I don't think I own any DVDs.
You don't own a single... What about a Blu-ray?
No, I don't think I own... any. My family definitely did and does.
But you don't own any Blu-rays.
Me personally? No. I don't think I have a DVD player.
You have a Blu-ray player?
You're really hung up on the Blu-ray thing. The Blu-ray of it all. Well, I can't say I have a Blu-ray player either. I don't have... No, I don't... But I'm also not... I'm not knocking it. I'm not saying that it's bad that I am against it. I'm not like a... I don't really have like... Like, I know you have, like, kind of collector mindset about certain things.
Well, I think it's important to preserve physical media.
Sure, I agree as, you know? I agree as well. I just haven't dedicated my life personally to the cause.
So, I spend a lot of time canning Blu-rays, actually.
Doing what?
I can Blu-rays.
Oh, I thought you said cam. Like you were at home with a well, I with do a that camcorder. A little bit too. No. You're sitting at home with a camcorder, taping your own find Blu-ray.
Find me on Chatterbait, sticking my dick through the hole of Babylon 5 season 2, disc 3.
And you can find me on
getting it cut up real good.
You can find me on 123 Movies, where I post camcorder tapes of movies that I own the DVD of. I'm preserving but physical no, I, media.
I can't. I've canned 7 seasons of X-Files so far.
I don't know what that means.
It's like canning olives or canning pickles or something.
Oh, you mean like physically preserve the disc in like oils
and vinegar. And oils yeah. and stuff. Yeah,
you pickle the disc.
I just can the disc.
You can the disc. Okay.
Pickling it would actually destroy it.
Right. I guess I hadn't thought about that.
But point being, do you have any? Well, you have some vinyl.
Yes, I have some. That's the most physical media I have. I would like to own more. Grace got me a record player for my birthday like 2 years ago, which is a wonderful gift that in theory I would love to use, but I don't use it that often because, again, I have a really hard time, like, collecting is like not an instinct that I have. And so I'm always like, oh, I want to get records to have on hand, but I just don't do it.
Mm-hmm. No, I get it.
And
I think
part of what bothers me, actually, part of that is actually, I'm kind of all or nothing about it. It's like, I don't try at all, or it would bother me that I only have some and not like a really extensive collection. When I first started, when I first got an iPod, when I first got an iPod, it really bothered me that I couldn't buy every song I liked. I wanted to have every song by every artist that I liked. It drove me crazy to not have all of it, you know?
Did you like use LimeWire or anything?
No, I should have. I didn't really know about that. I would just like...
I used FrostWire for a while, and then I looked up Rush's discography, and the first result was clearly labeled child porn, and then I never torrented again.
It's actually a really good song. You should check it out.
Yeah, it's kind of weird to
Child Porn by
name
Rush
a song.
Is, yeah, it's really good.
They were just being edgelords, right?
Call
like,
him,
it's not about
they call him,
that. Or...
They call him Petty Lee. Short for pedophile. That's did my, Tom my new character.
Petty take... There was also Tom Petty.
Oh, yeah. They also call him that because it's
I mean, you know, back then, if you were a rock and roll star...
Oh, I had a really... I came up with a good character the other day. It's Boomer Dog, and he goes, puppies these days are always on their damn bones. So yeah, that's a new character I came up with. Speaking of Petty Lee and Tom Petty, anyhow, you should check that song out. Back to what you were saying before, which was I forgot.
Oh, yeah, sometimes you think you see a nice lady dog and it's a human woman with leather dog ears.
And that character is called...
That's Boomer Dog.
Oh, that's also Boomer Dog. That's
just more Boomer Dog. I just didn't have a fun... I didn't use a pun. Not all comedy has to have puns.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, so basically... A big album came out that April showed me because I think she had a role to play in it, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I guess I can talk about it. Obviously, Taylor's new album came out, and I wanted to...
Taylor Swift.
Yeah, sorry, I call...
Not Lautner.
Yeah, I call her...
Not that one guy from American Idol.
I call her Taylor.
Taylor Swift. Mm-hmm. No, that makes sense. Yeah, you guys must be close.
I just call her Taylor. I mean, yeah, we're still pretty close, I would say. Yeah, and so yeah, Taylor's new album came out, and I wanted to review it on the show, you know.
Yeah.
Because well, I mean, I say we're pretty close, but she won't take my calls anymore, so I can't really tell her personally how I feel about the album, which is why I wanted to. I still feel close.
Is there like a conflict of interest here? Because you were telling me that you were working on Taylor's new album for months. Like, were you? What happened between you?
Yeah,
two?
So I was working on the album. Right, I don't understand what you're saying. A conflict of interest. It's a conflict of interest that I worked on the album.
So you want to review an album you worked on?
Yeah, I can't have a hobby and a career.
Okay, but what did you do on the album?
Music journalism is my hobby, so I'd like to review. Okay. I'd like to review the album. Okay,
But what did you do on the album?
As a hobby, and. I mean...
So what is your... When you say your career...
My career...
What did you do for the album?
Well, the real question is, what didn't I do for the album?
Did you sing on it?
Right.
Did you sing? Did you write the songs? Did you play instruments on it?
Yes, I did. Like, I did all of that.
So the voice that we hear on the Tortured Poets Department, the main voice is yours?
Well...
That's not Taylor Swift's.
Well, legally it's Taylor's voice, right?
Legally it's Taylor's voice. Mm-hmm. So you're saying that you are her vocal double, or you sung in for her?
Yes, it's kind of like a Singing in the Rain situation.
Sure, yeah, it was dubbed.
Yes.
But not really, because there's no video. So it's just... It's just you, the audio of you singing.
Yeah, the singing part of Singing in the Rain. Singing.
Yeah.
It's kind of a Singing in the Rain scenario, which is that I sang
you
it.
You sung. Okay, but I do get that. But it's being, they're saying it's Taylor's voice.
Yeah. Yes.
And legally it's Taylor's voice.
Well, here's what.
But reality-wise, it's your voice.
Yes, here's what happened. Here's what happened is that, you know, people have noticed that this album is kind of a departure for Taylor. It's a bit different, right?
Yeah, and I would say worse.
Okay, well, let's keep in mind that I actually did most of the work on the album, okay? So when we review it, let's try to keep it positive, okay?
Okay, can I just say some thoughts that I had?
Can I just tell you what happened?
Yeah, sure. Okay,
so I was working on an album, and I was just going to call it, the Happy Poets Good Times Club, and it was going to be an album of chill-ass bangers about me and my friends chilling the fuck out and hanging out. I wrote a really great fucking album, right? It was really good, and not to jack myself off about it, but it was incredible. Perfect album.
Okay.
I mean,
what was it called again?
The Happy Good Time Poets Club.
The Happy Good Time Poets Club. Okay.
Yeah. I mean,
so was it kind of about like some little rascals, except they also wrote poetry, like young kids who had a good time?
Well, it wasn't really about anything.
Oh, well, that might have been an issue. But, is that why she didn't like it?
Well, but at the same time, it was about everything. No. Okay. She loved it. Right?
It doesn't seem like she loved it if she changed everything.
Well, she changed it to put her own stink on it, right?
So it's not your voice on it. You're saying at one point it was your songs and your voice.
No, it still is. She just kind of changed some of the names and titles and whatnot. So I met Taylor because I also, my other hobby is I play on the Kansas City Chiefs. And I'm the girl. And so I play on the Kansas City Chiefs. And so I met Taylor because she is, you know, fake dating Travis Kelce. And that's a whole, shouldn't talk about that. She's dating Travis Kelce.
She's dating Travis Kelce.
I'll edit that out. And we met and obviously banged. She loves, you know, the girls, the dolls, even... because people have it wrong when they say, oh, Taylor's a lesbian, oh, Taylor's straight. Mm. No, she's actually a closeted lesbian who doesn't really know it about herself.
Who's more of a chaser,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so she kind of fucks dolls because she's like one of those lesbians who's like scared of pussy. So she likes the girls who are boys, who are, you know, classic
the
type.
Ones who have layers.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally. So
just like her songs.
Right. So we met. She became obsessed with me. I showed her the album I was working on. She said, I love this. Would you mind if I get my hands on it? I'd love to contribute. I send her all the files. I send it over.
Oh, so you wrote this was your album. It wasn't like originally for Taylor.
No, I wrote it for me. And then she put it out. She just put it out.
No consultation from you.
No.
She just changed some stuff. Made either sung over your parts or changed some things.
No, it's all my voice. We have very similar voices.
But she changed some things, right? So how did she do that?
She didn't really change any. She changed the cover art.
You said that she changed some names and stuff.
Well, yeah, the names of the songs.
Any names used in the songs?
What do you mean?
I don't know. Just like. I don't know. I was just asking. Can I tell you the notes I wrote down while listening?
Yeah, sure.
It's kind of, this is in response to like different lyrics. Who uses typewriters anyways? You do, you dumb bitch. She calls herself a functioning alcoholic, and nobody can call themselves that if they have a team of dozens, if not hundreds of people running their life for them. Who the hell is Charlie Puth? The one people put wedding rings on, I think when she's talking about like her finger, is one of the worst lyrics I've ever heard. Sad and going to the gym is dumb. There's a whole song about that. Fuck off. But Daddy, I Love Him is one of the worst songs because it's like her talking about how powerless she is when she's a billionaire. That Fresh Out of the Slammer song, I thought that's kind of offensive to use Slammer, like, sincerely. Like, there's nothing, like, goofy about going to jail. What is her deal with, she's so obsessed with London and England. Like, it's crazy. It's like she's a Target decor aisle with, like, a bunch of, like, wooden signs that have, like, the Big Ben on it. Well, I guess you are. I guess you're obsessed with Britain and Big Ben and the Union Jack. Florida is one hell of a drug. What do you mean? That's, I think, a really bad line.
Yeah, people keep thinking that's about the state. It's not. It's about a new chemical that I invented in my lab. So yeah, it is one hell of a
drug. I just
drug.
Think it's a bad, I think what, if this is something you made, April, I think you made something bad.
Well, I mean, honestly, it's for the best then that she took it and ran with it.
Because... Well, I don't think she should have done that still. Like, but can I ask you, like...
She's honestly, I've been asking around. She's done this with a lot of her albums.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Folklore was actually going to be the next Third Eye Blind album.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. That makes so much sense.
She asked them if she could borrow it to feature on it, you know, because she...
to borrow it to feature
yeah,
on
she,
it.
Yeah, because Taylor's a big Third Eye Blind fan. She loves like 90s alt stuff. Mm-hmm. And then she just put it out. She called it Folklore.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because a lot of this album is about like kind of wishing you'd grown up as an artist and like... the 60s in New York City and like that time and been around like Patti Smith and stuff like that. Is that really what's going on inside of your head, April? Like you wish that you were in London and New York and living at the Chelsea Hotel.
I mean, it beats podcasting. Right?
Okay, yeah, I mean,
what am I supposed to write about, you know?
I don't know, maybe, like, your life. Like, maybe you could make an album about the podcast.
I just don't think that'd be a very good album.
And about, like, doing comedy together and stuff.
I just don't...
It could be called, like, the Tortured Comedians Department or something.
I just don't think that would be a very good album.
Okay, can I share some... I didn't know that you were like...
I would love some more... If you have any constructive feedback you want to give me about the album, though, I'd love to
hear
it.
Well, I didn't know you knew Taylor and stuff, and I was wondering if I could, like, pitch you some song lyrics.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, she'll probably just do it again, and I'll probably let her because, you know, that head game is crazy, so...
This is called The First and Last In-N-Out Burger in Columbus, Ohio.
That's a good song. Can I borrow that?
the title? Well, can you... Joe, you want to hear the song first?
Yeah. Let's hear the song.
It was almost 1 a.m., but that's okay. In-N-Out's opened until then. In-N-Out's opened until then. Only had $20 on for a couple burgers and shakes. We were A-OK. You fingered me as I said, give me strawberry before I get head. They were so nice at the drive-thru. They were really good at giving me exact change. The first and last In-N-Out burger outside of Columbus, Ohio is where I became a woman. Where I became a woman. And I would never change that. What do you think?
Would you mind, like... Okay, well, first of all, I'll say it's an incredible song. I love it. Mm-hmm. It really mm-hmm. paints a very vivid picture of the...
It's kind of about
In-N-Out
Americana.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Like of what it used to be and what it is now.
Right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of about like, when did we lose the American dream, but what have we also gained because we let go of it?
In-N-Out Burger.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Would you mind... Can I ask you something crazy? Tell me if this is crazy.
Sure, yeah.
I would love to feature on that song.
Oh, yeah. Could you give me like a little example of like what your feature would be like?
Well, no. That's not really how my creative process works. I wonder if you could send me the latest version of it, whatever you've recorded, and I'll just kind of do my thing on it and send it back to you.
Sure. I mean, honestly, I have a lot more songs that I could send
really?
To you.
I'd love mm-hmm. to hear them. What else do you have?
Well, the other like song that I thought would be a single for the album is "They Just Open Up the First Bojangles in Portland."
That's good. A lot of artists only know how to write songs about one thing, but you already, like a lot of Taylor's early stuff that she worked on back when she was still writing her own stuff before she started stealing from indie artists, they're all about one thing, right? Love.
Mm-hmm.
And you're already writing about two things. You're writing about In-N-Out Burger and Bojangles, and that's incredible.
Yeah. And also the American West.
Right, which is totally different from the American dream.
And I consider the West anything west of Massachusetts.
Right.
Because, you know, Manifest Destiny.
Right.
I'm calling the album Fast Food, Slow Life, Full Belly.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah. Another song that I'm really excited about.
Oh, you're not going to sing me the song?
Oh, well, okay, yeah. There's a line outside for 10 whole blocks to get a chicken biscuit at Bojangles. But at least you're here to suck my clit the whole time. That's like just a little bit of it.
Wow. I mean, Grace, that's incredible.
Another one that I'm really excited about is called Trans Day of McDonald's.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear it.
And that one goes...
Yeah, tell me.
Dick and boobs. No boobs and pussy. Different combos. Just like McDonald's. Like this. And I don't want to like spoil the whole album, you right. know, before it's released.
Right, totally.
But let's just say there's also a song about Wendy's.
Wow, that's good. And that's about your ex, right?
It is about my ex, yeah. And it's called the Body Behind Wendy's in Birmingham, Alabama.
That's so interesting because her name was Wendy, so it's kind of a play on words.
Yes, and it's not about what actually happened.
Right? No,
it's just like a metaphor.
Totally. Yeah, listen, I would love if you want to send me over anything you have, and I'll just kind of get my stink all over it, and then...
Yeah. Can I even send you kind of my weirder stuff?
Totally.
I have kind of an ambient track called What If Taco Bell Let Me Eat There Again?
Cool. Does it have any...
That's kind of about my experience being nationally banned by Taco Bell.
Why were you banned? From Taco Bell.
I challenged them. I challenged them. I told them I believe my grandpa invented the chalupa in 1943 and not them in the 60s. And they didn't like it that much. The freaking bigwigs did not like it that much.
Right.
I'll tell you that right now.
That makes sense to me. Yeah. That's crazy about your grandpa.
Honestly, I think my best song on the album is Arby's song.
Wow. That's interesting.
It's just called Arby's song.
Tell me about it. What inspired it?
it was inspired by the genocide of communists in Indonesia.
Wow. That's really...
Have you ever seen the movie Act of Killing?
No, I haven't.
I would say it's a song version of the movie The Act of Killing.
That's so cool. You know, you never hear about movies being adapted as songs.
You never do.
It's always books being adapted as movies or movies being adapted
as
books.
Or maybe like a musician's, like a biopic or something.
Right, 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 right. But they should I think they really should adapt.
The beef was roasted like the bodies. That's like a little bit of it.
Well, because I think people are taking the wrong lesson from things like the Barbie movie, right? Which, you know, everyone said was crazy to adapt a toy into a movie. And yeah, say what you will about the movie being bad, but I think it seems that the lesson that the studios are taking away from it is that they need to make more movies that are adaptations of Mattel products. And that to me is wrong.
And toys in general.
Yes, and that to me is wrong. I think what we need to be doing is making adaptations of objects, right? Like, why don't we look around at the world and say, what if we adapted my laptop into a movie? Right? When was the last time you picked up an object and you thought, what if this was a movie?
Or even just like sat at one, i.e. tables.
Right.
What about tables as a cinematic experience?
Right. What could the table's so cinematic many things universe happen be? At.
Have you ever seen the movie M?
No.
Well, they decide to catch the pedophile at a table.
Hmm.
Like a lot. I'm just saying tables are kind of the unsung hero of cinema.
Right. Right. I mean, they're in everything.
They're in just about everything.
Right.
And even if it's a movie about prehistoric times, you'll often see people sit around a large flat rock.
Right.
So really, tables weren't invented by humans. They were invented by intelligent design.
I guarantee you that movie, if a movie doesn't feature a table, I guarantee you it was at least written at one.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know?
Well, okay, question.
Sure.
Is a desk a table?
Yeah. Desk is a table.
Really?
Desk is table.
Is piano a table? You put stuff on it sometimes.
It often can be, especially the big ones with the big thing, the big shape.
Well, oddly, though, the big ones have their top opened up, so you can't put stuff on it.
Well, they don't always have the top open up.
Is a table still a table if it doesn't have any shit on it? Or is it just a potential table?
Wow. This is good. We've arrived at kind of existential thought through independent reasoning, which...
What do you think Taylor Swift's biopic will be like when it's eventually made? It'll just be like, oh man, that concert was incredible. What are you going to do next, Taylor? Make another album in 3 days.
My genuine thought is I kind of feel like they're going to make it while she's still alive, and I do think she's going to star in it.
Okay, if that happens, though, I think there will be an additional biopic, obviously, at some point.
Hmm.
I guess the question is, the big question is, does she die tragically and young? Or does she live to old age?
Right, it's going to depend on that. What an interesting twist that would be if Taylor Swift died. That would be so crazy. She rolls the dice a lot in our private jet.
Yeah.
That's the main reason I'm not a billionaire, is because I'm scared of flying in a private jet. So I don't really want that to...
You think it's more dangerous to fly in a private jet than a big boy?
Yeah, private jets go down way more often than commercial airlines.
Well...
Right?
I don't know.
Yeah, they definitely do.
I guess. But there's probably more of them.
More private jets than commercial flights?
Because they're smaller. So you need more of them. And each, it's like one-to-one.
No, there's no way there are more. I definitely think there are more commercial flights than private jets.
Yeah, but you don't know for sure, so don't act like you're right.
Okay, I mean... Yeah, I guess fair. I guess that's fair.
Did you know that Jock texted us like 3 minutes into recording that he found his headphones?
Jesus Christ. Oh my God. Oh my God. I mean, should we record with him now?
I need to do a couple of things before I go to a meeting.
All right, we'll record with him later in the week.
I don't want to have to leave right after my
Okay, well let's wrap this up. Folks.
Okay, folks, we're going to be in Portland on May 2nd as part of the Rip City Comedy Festival for Lance Bangs Presents at Crystal Ballroom. Very excited about that.
You can get tickets pretty much everywhere. Anyone will sell them to you.
Google
go
Nance
up to a guy on the street and demand that he sell you tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Fly to Portland and start screaming at people until you've got a ticket.
Yes, that's right.
We've got our first Pride show announced at June 1st. At the Bell House, and we'll be announcing some fun guests soon.
Yeah, get tickets to the Bell House show in New York. It's going
to
be fucking
sick. Get tickets to the Bell House show.
It's going to be so crazy.
It's
going to
be really sick.
And it will sell out, so get tickets to that now.
Yeah, get tickets to it quick before we announce all the cool guests. And if you don't subscribe to us on Patreon, that's a great way to support the show, and you get an extra episode every week and other cool stuff.
And the episodes are sometimes even good.
Sometimes the episodes are good.
Not every time, but sometimes they are.
And we should be having a special one with Jock this week.
Hopefully the episode of Jock comes out 2 days from now on Patreon. We'll see.
Much love.
Okay, bye guys.
Bye-bye.